Good morning, Meadow Park. How's everybody doing? So good to be here. My name is Kyle Hayes. I'm the Director of Development for Children of Promise. Came over from Anderson, Indiana, if you've heard of it. It's not that far away, with my son Caspian. He's helping me out today, so you can meet him later. So thrilled to be back here in Columbus. Believe it or not, I have been here many, many, many times. I was a pastor for a ton of years in Dayton, Ohio. Go Buckeyes. It's good to be back. I've been living in Hoosier Land for a few years now, so thank you for appeasing me there. And it's good to be back, and we came up here, like, a lot for meetings. In fact, I was ordained, like, right over there on that spot. So it's good to be back here at the church, and it's my first time to be able to come and share, but I'm blessed to be able to do this all over the United States and all over the world. Twice a month or more, I get to share the story of Children of Promise to churches just like you all. But this is a little different, and let me tell you why. If you're newer here, maybe you don't know the connection with Children of Promise, this is a little bit different for a couple reasons. You all have been one of our longest supporting churches in the world, and still are, through child sponsorship, through giving to our annual budget to make our work possible. And don't worry, I'm going to tell you more about what we do if you're not familiar. But I just want to start by saying a huge thank you, because 32 years now of Children of Promise would have been partially impossible without this congregation. So the little video we just watched, it was like, what difference are we making in the world? Are we out living outside of our walls? I'm here to tell you, you have been for a while, in a big way. In fact, some of you know the late, great Dale Van Hoos, who we sadly lost a few months ago. Dale was the president of our board for many, many years, and I was just sharing with his daughter a little bit ago. Dale actually used to pick me up in Dayton, at where I worked, on the way to Anderson for board meetings. So he and I spent many, many hours in the car together talking about Children of Promise and travel and his car, which he loved, and having a lot of fun together. So it's appropriate, I feel like, to be here today to mention him, because today I want to talk about legacy. I want to talk about the legacy of this church. I want to talk about the legacy of you as a family, as an individual, because legacy doesn't just happen overnight. You can't, you know, be on your deathbed and be like, oh, maybe I should have got to that legacy thing. It starts now. We make decisions now in the here and now on a daily basis, a weekly basis, to start paving the way for a legacy. And I want to just stop before we dive in and say thank you to this congregation, because your legacy has affected not just hundreds of kids, but thousands of families in extreme poverty all around the world for many, many years. There are children right now, as I'm speaking, who have high school, college degrees, have careers because of this congregation. And don't miss this part. Their children are not sponsored children. You follow me? Because their mom and dad of those kids have careers, have jobs, have a better future. They're now back in the program volunteering as adults. I meet these children on every trip I go on. And this church has been a pivotal part of that kind of legacy. So, before we dive in today and I give you all sorts of stories and information, I want to look all of you in the face. Those of you watching online, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a church who is living outside of your walls and has thrown a pebble into the proverbial lake, and the ripple effect has happened and is happening in the lives of families. Now, it's not, I know when somebody comes like me to talk about foreign ministry, it can feel foreign. It can feel far away. But I want to tell you, when I say thank you, I'm saying it on behalf of moms and dads I meet on every trip who grab me by the arm after the child interviews or after our church service and say, Kyle, if you're ever in Columbus, Ohio, or Dayton, Ohio, or Fairfax, Virginia, or Seattle, Washington, or St. Joe, Michigan, tell them thank you. Their small act of generosity each month changed the trajectory of not just our lives, but the family tree is different now because someone helped us get out of extreme poverty. So thank you. Muchas gracias. Obrigado. Salamat. What else? Merci. Shukran awi. And the many, many, many other languages and dialects our kids speak, thank you for making wholeness possible. So today what we're going to talk about is the table, because this is what I think the church should be most famous for. The church around the world and throughout history is famous and infamous for things, but personally, having seen the church in over 40 countries now, I think the church should be most famous for this, making space at the table. Now, what does that mean? So some of you may have mentioned me on the next slide. You may have mentioned me, heard me say that we are making wholeness possible. Now, what does that mean? We are not a food agency. We are not a discipleship agency. We are not an agency for education or for healthcare. We are all of those things because we believe biblically at Children of Promise that God cares for the whole child, the whole family, and the whole community. In fact, I like to tell churches like yourself that you are changing impoverished communities through its children. That's what Children of Promise does. We are on the inside working in the next generation to change the story of a community stuck in poverty. And in Scripture, we call that wholeness or shalom, completeness, fullness, the number 7 in Scripture, this whole picture of a person, not just someday in heaven, but here in the here and now. We are called to make wholeness possible for people who do not have the same access to the things that you and I take for granted. For instance, here's an easy one. I've now interviewed probably almost 3,000 kids around the world in this job in the last couple of years. And you know what the number one thing kids tell me they're most thankful for? Because that's one of our questions when we interview. What's one of the best things that's happened to you this year? So often, all over the world, on different continents, kids say to me, school. How many of your kids and grandkids are thankful for school? Point made. The kids we work with don't have access to an education. So when you give them a seat at the table, a seat at the desk, they know, even at a young age, it will change the story of their future because they have a seat. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is this idea of making space available for those who don't have it, but not just for the person who needs the chair, by the way, but also for you as well. What does it mean to leave a legacy, to share from your blessing to those who need it? Now, if we had more time, I'd share more about wholeness, but I put a little definition together on the next slide that'll kind of, this is just my little take on what this looks like from all through Scripture. It says, wholeness is the ancient idea that people can find peace, happiness, and connection with God, God's world, themselves, and others. Now, you may be wondering, what's the issue in some of these communities that they don't have this? And honestly, it's just, in a lot of places, it's just where they were born. That's the difference between you and me and a lot of these children and families we work with. They were born in a very different place in time and space where there are a lot of racial challenges, historical challenges, colonial challenges. I'm going to share some of those with you in a minute. But you and I, in this time and space, have a chance to share from our great blessing here in the United States to make space possible. And it may actually cost you a lot less than you even realize. Now, before we dive into a little bit more, I want to show you a clip we made for one of our meetings a while back that gives you a bigger picture. Because as I just mentioned, wholeness is so much more than just feeding empty bellies. Are we distributing food every month to these children? Yes, we do that. But there's a lot more going on through Children of Promise that I want you to see. So check out this clip before we move on.
We all want to reach the world, to be the love of Jesus and meet people at their point of need, to see healing, empowerment, agency. We want to be the local church in our communities and help the global church of God in their communities. But with so much need, where do we even start? What if we told you? We already have. What if we told you we are already part of a global movement who is known by its love, making wholeness possible in 33 countries for children and their families who are living in extreme poverty? What if we told you families who struggle to find enough food are being fed? Children unable to afford school are now working on their education. Children in need of health care are being seen by local doctors and surgeons. What if you joined us on this mission? You see, Children of Promise is local church ministry around the world. You see, Children of Promise is locally shaped and globally supported, meaning we exist to support the global church in being the local church where they are, in places like Alexandria, Egypt, Mandalay, Myanmar, and Bogota, Colombia, churches are reaching their local communities through the Children of Promise program.
For pastors, it is very easy to convince people to come to Jesus.
So Children of Promise is helping the church to grow?
To grow. Church planting, church growth, all those things are helped by Children of Promise.
This is holistic ministry. Outreach budget, outreach committee or pastor, forget it. In most of the global church, senior pastors themselves are bivocational. Resources are scarce, options are limited. Children of Promise acts as a resource so that the local church can meet the needs that would otherwise go unmet.
Entonces el programa ha sido una gran bendición en educación, en nutrición, en momentos difíciles de desastres. Es un órgano especial en el cuerpo de Cristo. Aquí en Puerto Asís, eso es una bendición, más de 20 años. Tenemos niños que ya son profesionales, niños que están comenzando en el programa, y el programa en sí es la vida de la iglesia en Puerto Asís.
Qué bueno. Y...
Who gets the credit?
Okay, so since probably a lot of you don't speak Spanish, what she was just saying is that in where she's at in Colombia, Children of Promise is, I love the word she uses, she says órgano. It's a special organ in the body of Christ in the local community. So the reason we show that video is all around the world, when I do visits like this, people say the same question over and over. I've heard it a million times. What makes Children of Promise different? Why is Children of Promise different than Compassion or World Vision or these other organizations, which are all good organizations, by the way, we're just different. And A, it's because we work through the Church of God movement, which you are a part of by being a part of this church. This is our family, our tribe of children around the world. So that's one thing. But the other thing, and the bigger one, is that we only work through local volunteers. So just like you are about to go out and serve in your community, Children of Promise only works through local, regular people. Moms and dads, worship pastors, pastors in their churches, principals in the school. We only work through volunteers, which means a couple things. It means we're empowering the local church to be the hero of the story, not us. A lot of these kids around the world have no idea who Kyle Hayes is, but they do know who their local pastor is, who distributes the food every week. And their churches are growing, as you saw my friend from Rwanda say, churches are growing in Rwanda because of Children of Promise is local outreach. You tracking with me? It's the local outreach for the church. So not only are you helping kids get by, what I want you to understand here, you have a legacy of church planning, church growth, impacting whole communities through this work. So, all right, I want to introduce you to a little girl that we met a couple years ago. Her name is Dorcas. Now, believe it or not, I'm going to introduce you to three Dorcases today, okay? So you can keep score on your phone or whatever, however you keep score, okay? Three Dorcases. So this is Dorcas number one. Caspian actually met Dorcas. We were all there as a family in Tanzania, and Dorcas lives in the Rift Valley, which, if you've heard of it, it's where a lot of marathon runners come from. It is a beautiful part of Tanzania that's up high up on the mountain, separated from the Serengeti. So the Serengeti, Nat Geo, we do have children that live down there. This is different. You can see she's wearing a sweater because it's chilly up on the mountain. It's a curly, twisty roads that go all the way up on this hill, and there's little towns scattered amongst pine trees. It's a very beautiful place in the world, not too far from Mount Kilimanjaro, actually. When we were on that drive up to the Church of God for Child interviews, my kids, Caspian and my daughter Adelaide, they noticed something, though, that I share all over the world. They noticed, when we were still pretty far from the church, some kids Dorcas's age, 4, 5, 6-year-olds, walking alone without a parent or an adult on this highway, okay? This is like a highway road with no berm or anything. And so obviously that caught our attention. When we got to the church later, we were asking our local leader, what's the deal with all these kids walking so long? He said, well, mom and dad are farmers. They can't afford to miss a day of work. So if the children want to be a part of what's happening at the church, they have to get here by walking. I said, well, how far are some of these kids walking? He said, well, the farthest away kids only walk about 4 to 6 hours. Wow. How many of you can get your kids to go get the mail? Okay? Think about that for a second. 4 to 6 hours. And some of the little girls, Dorcas's age, they have a younger sibling often they have to care for while mom and dad are working. On average, the families we work with all around the world have 4, 5, or 6 children on average, because most of them are farmers, and they live on less than $2 a day. So missing a day of work is not an option for them. Starbucks, not an option. That is a week's worth of wages for them. Think about that for a second. That's the level of poverty we're working with here. And so the reason I tell this story is because in the U.S., when we think of poverty, we think of a lack of money or a lack of things. But here's the other thing I want to remind you of. Poverty is also a lack of options. In many of the countries where I visit, I was just in southern Zimbabwe recently, there were no dads. Anywhere I went, I interviewed like 50 kids, not one dad was there or around. And I come to find out there's no industry. There's nowhere for them to work. So they go to South Africa to try to find work, and very few of them ever come back. That's what poverty can look like. It's a lack of access to a seat at the table. Families don't have options, so they have to make dire decisions. Now, I told you I was going to introduce you to a few Dorcases, so let's continue to go through this today. And believe it or not, before I introduce the next one, I'll tell you about how we are doing this. So if you sponsor a kid today, and we have 10 kids out on the table we'd like to see sponsored today, the way that we make wholeness possible on a monthly basis through Children of Promise is through what we call the Core Four. We provide nutrition for their family, so the whole family gets nutrition each month. We provide access to an education, which is a big deal. We provide access to health care when they need it. So I've met kids who have had ocular surgeries, vertebrae surgeries, also just needed reading glasses. We do all of those kinds of things through our local programs. And as I already mentioned, our programs are not run by an American in a local office. It's only run by the church. The church is the star of the show, and the kids are a part of every church and everywhere we work. So that's this is the secret to our model, and how we make Children of Promise function is through the Core Four. And when you sponsor a kid today at the table for $32 a month, they're getting all of those things every month of the year. Think about that for a second. We got pizza for my daughter's birthday party last night. It was way more than $32 for a few of us for one night. This is for the entire month. We're providing all this for these kids. Sometimes we don't realize how far the U.S. dollar goes in some of these economies. It's kind of crazy, actually, how much help we can provide with a small, small amount of money. On the next slide, I want to tell you a little bit more about how we make that space at the table through another Dorcas. On the next slide, a Dorcas you may not know is actually in the Bible. So this is a lesser-known story from the book of Acts, and even though it's a short one, you may have seen it because it's a pretty weird story. So let's talk about it for a second. This is in Acts 9, starting in verse 36, and I'm just going to read it because it's so short. Peter and Lydda and Joppa. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in the Greek means Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity, and at the time she became very ill and died. When they washed her, they laid her up in a room upstairs, and since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was nearby, they sent two men with a request, "Please, come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and clothing that Dorcas had made them while she was with them. Peter put everybody outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. Now, this is a weird story. I visit churches basically every other week, and I've had some weird things happen. I've had some weird convos, I'm not going to lie. But I've never had this happen. I've never walked into a church, people are freaking out, crying, wailing, and throwing fabric in my face. Can you imagine Peter in this situation? And yes, this is the Peter you're thinking of, by the way, the apostle of Jesus. Not necessarily famous for, you know, his quick thinking and sometimes even a temper. And we have these people flailing and freaking out in his face. What is going on here? He wasn't even scheduled to be in this town. And here he is getting, like, accosted by these people. You see, Dorcas in the Bible is a biblical model for service. She took something that she was good at, and instead of using it for herself, she used it for others. Does anybody know what she was famous for? She was a seamstress. And in the early church, she used her skills to bless others, especially widows and children in need. Did anybody catch when I was reading that who was there crying and holding up the fabric? the widows and children. They were there that day to say, look what she did for us. You have to help us, Peter. You have to help. She did this for us. When nobody else saw us, she did this for us. You have to do something. And that's why they were there crying and holding fabric up. They weren't holding up a school uniform. They weren't holding up something to wear to church. They were holding up Dorcas's legacy. You follow me? This was her legacy to them. When nobody else cared, she did. And she shared from what she had. Now, this story is not over, obviously, so we'll come back to it in a second. But the question I have for you, as we mentioned before with Dale, you know, on the weekend of your funeral, on the end of your life, when the family comes into town because they got the phone call, will anyone be holding up anything? Will they come at all? And if they do, will they have anything in their hand to attest to the story that you told into their life? This is a question for everybody on planet Earth. It doesn't matter who you are. What is your purpose? What is your legacy? Will you leave anything to be remembered? Dorcas did. Instead of using her money for herself, she chose to share her skill to give it away to others. And because of that, they came rushing in. So that's my question for you. Will anyone come rushing in? Because I know for a fact I couldn't be there that day, but my bosses, Mike and Heather Webb, were here for Dale's funeral, and people were definitely here holding up the fabric because he had made an impact, not just here in this community, but all over the world for kids who had not been seen. He had said, yes, on a regular basis, in little ways, I will make a difference. I will leave a legacy. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, where you're from, your background, all of us can say yes to that on a weekly basis. In any way, it could be a conversation you need to have with a young person in your life. It could be the neighbor nearby who's sick right now and needs a phone call. These are all our little decisions that we make as Christ followers to say yes to wholeness, to making wholeness possible in our world. And right now, as I'm speaking, there are little kids who aren't in school. Some of them are sick. I met a little boy in Zimbabwe when I was there who has had a hernia for 2 years, and there's no way for them to deal with it. They just have no way of even getting to a doctor. It's too far. But through the program now, he's sponsored and can get that care. These are the kind of things that can happen when you say yes to being a part of a bigger family that is making wholeness possible. All right, so in the next couple slides, I want to share a couple stories about how Children of Promise is making space at four different tables, okay? Three Dorcases, four tables, if you're keeping score, all right? So the first table I want to tell you about is a little boy named Shuvo in Bangladesh. You see, some of you may not realize this, but there's a lot of different ways to get involved with Children of Promise. You can get involved through sponsoring a child one-for-one, hang them on your refrigerator, you pay $32 a month, and you can even write letters to this child and they'll write them back. You can do that. But a lot of people now are giving through what we call the Gap Fund. And the Gap Fund is just any amount of money that comes into our system, and it gets kids into the program right away so they don't have to wait. And let me tell you why that matters. Because before the Gap Fund existed, kids like Shuvo had to wait. Think about this for a second and try to put yourself in his parents' shoes. You're living on less than $2 a day. You have no margin of any kind for anything. You are living every day is a different day to try to survive. And your pastor comes to you and says, we've nominated Shuvo to be a part of the Children of Promise program. He'll be able to go to school. He'll be able to get health care for the thing that's going on with his head. Whatever, okay? How do you think you would feel in that moment? Hearing one of your kids is going to get an education. Game changer, right? In our old system, however, oftentimes, we're in 34 different countries. All these new children are coming in. The list would grow. And I can only visit so many churches every week. With the Gap Fund, we can get kids into the program immediately. And so Shuvo was one of the very first kids ever in the Gap Fund in 2021. Actually, in 2020 fall, he was one of the very first kids ever. And he got into the program immediately through gifts to the Gap Fund. And then 2 years later, was sponsored by a family here in the United States. Now, those of you here who know about childhood development know how big of a deal 2 years is of education. He was in school for those 2 years. He was well-fed for those 2 years. His family was receiving goods those 2 years. It's a big deal, those 2 years. And that's what the Gap Fund does. It gets kids into the program now. I was in Dallas, Texas at a church I love called New Vida. It's a great church, a bilingual church. And it was the very first place I ever shared about the Gap Fund. I told this story, and it happened to be that pastor, whose name's Malcolm, that morning, he told a story about sharing what's in your hand. And he gave every little kid at the front of the stage a dime. There was a little boy there who put that dime in his hand, and he went to Sunday school with it. He went to worship. He went to the game time afterwards with the dime in his hand. He went everywhere with the dime. So church is over now. I'm talking to his mother at the booth, who happens to be Colombian. We have a program in Colombia. She grew up there. She's asking me about what it's like to help the kids in Colombia, and could she visit them? He's just over here listening the whole time. And after I finish talking to her about traveling with us someday, he taps me on the leg, and he says, "Can I give you this dime for the Gap Fund?" He was the first ever gift to the Gap Fund. And I'm not making that up. It really happened. The first ever gift was a little boy who said, "I have this, and I want to help other people." And friends, it really is that simple. You and I have a lot more than a dime in our hands, I'm sure. And he made a decision in that moment, even though that dime meant a lot to him, that he was going to make wholeness possible for somebody else. And I tell that story all over the world now. In fact, their church does a dime a month now challenge because of that little boy, because of the sacrifice he made. So the Gap Fund is helping kids all over the world right now. 750 kids in its first year were in the program because of $5, $10, $20 gifts to the Gap Fund. It's changed our whole ministry. All right, on the next slide, I want to share another story. Obviously, food and healthcare are a big deal, but I think I don't need to explain this to most of you. Getting an education is the long-term game changer for kids in our program. These are all real people I'm about to say that I've met. I've met a doctor. I've met a dentist. I've met a PhD candidate in Tanzania. I've met a safari guide. I've met about every occupation you can think of that came through our program and got a degree because somebody gave them a space at the table. These are two young ladies who just graduated from our biggest program in the world, which is in Uganda. And Angel is actually training to be a teacher now. She's going into university for an education degree. And Jana is going into a fashion design school after she graduates. And these are just two women as an example of what's happening in our program. Our program only goes through 18 years old. But actually, now with the Gap Fund, we can also scholarship the best and brightest of our program into university all around the world. We had 30 kids in university last year, also through the Gap Fund. So you can, I hope you're following me. The Gap Fund is able to us to be more versatile and help more kids in more ways. So it's an exciting thing. But yes, getting an education is a game changer. I was recently in really, really remote Thailand on the northwest side near Myanmar. The Burmese border was just nearby. And all day, this young pastor about my age, he showed us around town. We interviewed the children. I was with him for like 8 hours. At the very end of the day, he says, "Oh, by the way, I was the first ever sponsored kid here in this part of Thailand." I was like, "Why didn't you tell me this like 8 hours ago?" So we had a big laugh about that. But his name's Pastor Watt, and he is an example. These kids don't disappear once they graduate from our program. I have met so many young leaders in our program. There's over 1,000 of them every month that make our program possible that were also sponsored kids. Because they know the difference it made, so they come back and help kids in their community, while they themselves many times have a career. So that's the difference an education can make. Now, the next story I want to tell you about is a little bit of a harder one. It's a new one for Children of Promise. Some of you who follow us online will know about this. But getting kids a seat, not only for their bodies, for their health, but also their holistic health, is what's happening right now in Bangladesh. So sometimes people ask me at the table, "Kyle, why are you in Honduras, but you're not in El Salvador? Why are you in Myanmar, but you're not in Cambodia?" The truth is, friends, we only go where we're invited in by the national leadership. Full stop. It's that simple. We've never called a country and been like, "Hey, can we start in Mexico?" Like, no, we go where we're invited in because they know that the program works. That's why since 2020, we've launched in 6 new countries. I was telling Pastor before, we are in one of the biggest growth spurts in our history because the word is out. And our friends internationally are talking to each other that this program works. So let me tell you an example of this. This is also a prayer request and a challenge to some of you who might want to get involved today in one of probably the hardest places we've ever been invited into. This is in Dalat Dia, Bangladesh. We've been working in Bangladesh for many, many years. Our program is over 15 years old there. But recently, and don't miss this, the Church of God itself in Bangladesh, has nothing to do with us, started doing work in one of the world's largest brothels. The entire community of Dalat-Dia, it's a town, but the whole town is a brothel. There are over 250 children who were born in the brothel through their mother's work in the sex work, and they're seen as complete lesser thans. They're seen as untouchable. They're not given access to school. They're not given access to anything. They're just living in the brothel with their moms and dads. Now, some of you are probably ahead of me on this. When the girls in the program become 12, 13 years old, because they have no access to a school or anything else, they become part of the brothel because they have nowhere else to go. They follow in their mother's footsteps. So here's why I brought this story up. The Church of God was already seeing this as a need and stepped in. Had nothing to do with the Americans. They were already doing this work, but they needed more support. So they contacted us last fall about launching a Children of Promise program inside of the brothel. And we've just done that. Some of you already know about this if you follow us online. But in May, we launched this program at the MENA Project, it's called. And the project is going to help, it's actually two pieces. The House of Hope is going to help kids that are still living in the brothel get access to the core four that I mentioned before. They'll become part of the Children of Promise program in the traditional sense. However, the girls that are a little bit older, and I have one of them here, actually. We have a few more out at the table. It's this hand. These girls will be taken out of the brothel into a place called the MENA Project, which is a residential home to keep them safe from trafficking issues. So this is an immediate response to girls who are growing up in a very risky place. And then these other kids, we're going to work our way towards them because they're younger. Does that make sense? So we are very excited about this because these are literally like the lesser than of the community. Like in their culture, they are seen as not even human because of where they were born. Did these children choose to be born here? No. And Jesus tells us to see them and give them a seat at the table. So if you want more information on this, I'd love to talk to you about the table. I'll tell you, though, the girls that are moving into the MENA Project, they are $50 a month for help because it's a residential program. It's more expensive. But there are kids that are only $32 a month there through the House of Hope. But I tell this story as an example. These kids had nowhere else. No one saw them. They had no options. Talking about the families having little options in Zimbabwe, these kids have no options. Growing up and doing mom's work is it, but not anymore, because God has opened up a door for Children of Promise to be in the community, and we are very excited about that. So please join us in praying for that in this brand new program, and we're excited to see what God's going to do over the next couple years as we continue this program. Let's go back really quick while we still have this on the screen, because we have a little bit left in the story with Dorcas, if you remember, from the Bible. Dorcas number two. Don't worry, we're not to three yet. Peter had just gotten everybody to calm down and go outside, and then he goes back in and it says this in verse 40 of Acts 9. Peter put them all outside, and when he knelt down and prayed, he turned to the body of Tabitha and he said, "Tabitha, get up. Dorcas, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up, and then calling everyone back in, the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. The reason I want to finish with this on the screen is, friends, these kids, and kids like them around the world, they are dead to the world. They have no options on the table. They can't pull themselves up by the bootstraps and figure it out. They can't sneak into a university and get an education. They are trapped in the most literal sense. And when you say yes to a kid like this, you can reach your hand out just like Peter did in the story, leaving a legacy, and say to them, "Get up. Get up. There's a different story for you." I've seen it all over the world, friends. Kids who did not have a chance, and somebody simply said, "Get up. We have a seat for you at the table." Now, there's one more table I want to tell you about, and that is that we're saving a seat for kids around the world on the next slide. This is Milton. Milton is from our program in Quito, Ecuador, high up in the Andes Mountains. We're actually going to go there next year if you've ever wanted to go to South America. It's one of my favorite places to visit. Beautiful place. And Milton, like a lot of kids in our program, has had some health issues with some severe migraines that he could not get in control of until we were able to get him seen by some physicians. He's doing much better on that front. However, some of you may be wondering this. What happens if I sponsor a kid and I can't sponsor them anymore? Well, it's okay. The Gap Fund protects them. You see, Milton had been in our program for about 5 years before getting treatment for his headaches, doing well in school, being discipled in the church. His life was on a trajectory towards success and wholeness. And then his sponsor sadly passed away. So what happens then? Do we just stop all that progress in his life? No. The Gap Fund protects kids all around the world every year to continue in the program, to be able to continue and finish their time in the program and their wholeness journey. So you don't need to fret about that, because there's always, always another person to step in and help you with that through the Gap Fund. All right, on the next slide, I want to kind of finish this up by just reiterating what's happening here. There are many ways to get involved with Children of Promise. If you've been moved in any way by the Spirit today to get involved, you can sponsor a child one for one and like hang them on your refrigerator. You can write letters to them. You can come with me and you can meet them in person. Every year I take people to meet their sponsored kids all around the world. You could definitely do that. And that provides the core four for that child. Or you can give through the Gap Fund, which helps all of the kids on our list get into the program now. In fact, I'm excited to tell you, this is brand new this year. The Gap Fund, on top of doing college scholarships, is also now seed funding small business ideas. So when our kids graduate out of the program, if they're not going to go to seminary or nursing school, but they want to start a roadside stand or a barbershop, we can also help them by seed funding that with a one-time gift. So the Gap Fund is doing a lot of good all around the world as I speak because of churches like this one. On the next slide, I want to share, again, just really quickly, the $32 a month. I don't think, some of you have traveled, some of you have seen this, but we don't always realize how far the U.S. dollar goes around the world. It's actually insane when you start to travel a lot. I'm just talking about like buying like snacks at the gas station. It's crazy sometimes how far the U.S. dollar goes. But I want to tell you this to help you understand the blessing that you and I have simply because we live here in the United States. If you, as a family unit, make more than $32,000 a year as a family unit, so everybody in the household, you are, by world standards, very rich. I'm not sure if you knew you were going to hear that today, but you won the lottery, literally. So we like to talk about the one percenters around the world and how they're all going to space and rocket ships and stuff now because they're bored with their money. But friends, I'm here to tell you that if you make more than $32,000 a year as a family household, you are by global standards a 3, 4, or 5 percenter.
Wow.
Thank you. We don't realize how wealthy we are in the United States because this is what we're accustomed to. We're used to having this margin. We're used to having options. We're used to complaining about, oh man, they're starting school earlier this year, which that's something I say all the time in Indiana. We're used to things, but we don't realize how blessed we are. And this small amount of money, I've seen it with my own eyes all over the planet, changes families' lives. Full stop. It's that simple. Education, healthcare, nutrition, discipleship. So I promised one more Dorcas, so let's talk about her. This is Prisca. Prisca is a metaphorical Dorcas, our final one for the day. And Prisca actually lives in that same part of the Rift Valley in Tanzania. Here's what's cool about Prisca. Prisca is now an adult. She has a young family now. She came up through the program about 10 years ago. She's in her 20s. But when she was about 15, the Gap Fund didn't exist yet, so we had no way to seed fund her idea. However, some of you probably already know this, we would ask sponsors to help in kids' life. And Prisca had a dream. She really wanted to learn to sew. So we asked her sponsor here in the United States, would you be able to gift her a sewing machine so she could learn to sew? And about 10 years ago, she did that. Now, you may be looking at this photo, though, and realizing there's a lot more going on than one sewing machine. There's multiple women, a lot of fabric, multiple sewing machines and stations, at least 3 in this photo. I want you to know, the sponsor did not pay for those. She did that. She grew the business from 1 to 5 machines, and these other ladies in the Church of God there are her employees. Oftentimes, we don't realize, because we have this perception of kids in poverty, that they don't have the same ability or the same know-how. I'm telling you, there's something a lot of kids in poverty have that a lot of Americans don't have: grit. When they get a chance, when they get a seat at the table, they are going to run with it and make a difference. I've met many Priscas around the world who took their gift and used it not just to help them and their own families, but to help others. In the tradition of Dorcas from the scripture, they use this as outreach in the local community there by helping, guess who? Widows and orphans with clothing. Sound familiar? This is the work that this church is already a part of. Some of those questions in the bumper video, you've been doing this for a long time, friends, so good news. This is the story that you're a part of, is making wholeness possible. The question I have for you today is simple, though. What are you doing with your legacy? Are you hoarding it, building bigger barns than the Jesus story he shared, or are you sharing it? And I don't just mean financially. Are you sharing your gifts? Every person in this room and watching online has something to offer. Maybe you're a carpenter. Maybe you are like to work out. Maybe you are a runner. Maybe you are talented with the arts. I don't know, musically. Can you share that with someone? Can you open your heart and leave a legacy for someone, just like Dorcas in Scripture did? This is the calling of the church, and when we do this, we once again become famous for making wholeness possible. All right, as we wrap up, I want to show you just a couple ways to get involved with Children of Promise. If you don't already know, come see me at the booth, and we can talk about all these different ways you can get involved in helping a kid today. Again, we have a goal for 10 kids to be helped today while I'm here. But if you don't know, we visit every kid every 3 years on a cycle all around the world, and we take U.S. guests with us. We had 87 people last year alone travel with us all around the world. So if you've ever wanted to travel, we're in 34 countries, so there's probably somewhere in the world that might interest you coming up. Just this year alone, I'm looking for help right now to go to Zambia and Malawi with me in a few months' time. I'll be in Guyana in a few weeks as well in South America. But next year we have some biggies: Philippines, Tanzania, Ecuador, I'm forgetting some, Zambia. There's at least 7 to 10 international trips a year, and we need your help. All we do on our trips is interview the kids. That's it. We don't build anything. We just spend time and connect them the dots to the United States program. And we interview each kid one by one. So if you can sit down and ask questions and get to know the children, you can help us on our trips. We do that every 3 years. So come, if you're interested in that, come talk to me at the booth as well. Love to get you on a trip. We even have financial help for people, fundraising ways to do that on our website. And I think I have one more slide. Oh yeah, if you all are one of our hub churches, so we want you to know you can follow us. In fact, please follow us on Instagram today. We are like a couple away from 1,000, and it's driving me crazy. I wake up every morning and look at it, and I'm like, can we please just get like 5 more followers on Instagram? So I'm just point blank asking you, please follow us on Instagram. It's driving me crazy. But my wife and I, Jessica, we post every single day stories from around the world. So this is content you're going to want to see if you're a sponsor or a supporter of Children of Promise. You can follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, and also we have a monthly newsletter, if you don't already get that, we put out every month on YouTube, that tells stories from around our program. So there are lots of ways to stay connected. But as we wrap up, I just want to pray a prayer of thanks and a prayer of commissioning. Now, all over the world, when I say that, people look at me like, yeah, that I'm not a pastor, Kyle. Like, commissioning prayers are for like mission teams, IYC groups, and people going somewhere, right? Well, guess what, friends? You're going somewhere right now. You're going out into your neighborhood. And I want to commission you now, whether it's with Children of Promise or just in your life, to go and make wholeness possible. I have seen the church in every iteration I think possible at this point, and this is what the church should be most famous for, is making wholeness possible. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for a church like Meadow Park who has already built a lasting legacy around our world. All around the world, there are kids and families holding up the metaphorical cloth that they have provided. Kids who have educations, families who have careers, next generation kids who are not in the program, who are living holistic lives now because this church said yes. This church made a difference. So we pray that story continues, God. We pray that they would continue to make space at the table for those around the world who don't yet have it, even when it costs them something, that they would have space at the table to live out their God dream so that the entire body of Christ would be lifted up as one, as all of us dream bigger God dreams in our lives, whether it's here or in Tanzania or in Myanmar or in the Philippines or in wherever, Ecuador, Argentina, that we all could dream bigger dreams together as we raise up the kingdom of God. So I pray a prayer of commissioning now over everyone in this room and everyone watching online, that whatever it is, that whatever they thought of during this sermon, that your spirit would peak in their life, in their spirit, to go and make wholeness possible, to love someone, to make a phone call today they need to make, to get involved, and that the world would start to see the church as a place of hope and wholeness once again. Thank you for your love, God. Amen.